Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Matt Johnson. I'm the Communications Director for the U.S. Navy's Office of Acquisition Assistance. Thank you for joining us on the call today. Just before we get started on the call, I want to let you know that we will be recording this call and posting it on our business forecast website later today, as well as a transcript of the call, as well as a list of all the questions that we've received as a part of our quarterly business forecast outreach. You'll hear from a number of folks on the call today that I just want to briefly introduce. Mark Walther, who's the Director of U.S. Navy's Office of Acquisition Assistance. Mauricio Vera, who's the Director of U.S. Navy's Office of Small and Disadvantaged Business Utilization. Deb Broderick, who's the Deputy Director in U.S. Navy's Office of Acquisition Assistance. And Marisa Paul and Randy Tiff, who are both Senior Advisors in U.S. Navy's Office of Acquisition Assistance. If you're new to joining one of our calls, rather than going through the full list of questions that we receive each quarter for our business forecast, what we like to do on our calls is highlight some general themes and topics that we see coming through our business forecast questions, and then try and provide some responses to general questions, and then highlight some of the major topics, things that are happening at USAID, both in the small business world as well as in the contracts and grants world. This quarter, I think we received more questions than I ever recall in the 4+ years we've done it. Last time I looked, I think we were about 130 pages worth of questions and answers, and I think well over 450 questions we received, which I think is sort of a record for us. So we appreciate everyone's continued interest in our business forecast and the call and all the comments and questions that you received. I'm happy to say we have most all of our questions answered that we have received from our contracting office staff around the world. There are a handful of questions that we're still trying to track down. But our plan is to post later today all of the questions and all the responses that we have received so far on our business forecast website. And we will notify folks through our email distribution list as well as through our Twitter handle, which is USAID BizOps. Now, I want to turn over the call to Mark Walther, but before I do, many of you probably know Mark. Mark has been a staple at USAID's Office of Acquisition Assistance for a number of years. He's been our acting director for the last couple of years. But as some of you may know, just a couple of weeks ago, the administrator actually named Mark as the director of the Office of Acquisition Assistance, formalizing him in that role. We're all very excited for Mark and his expertise and leadership and have him in that role. So, Mark, I want to turn the call over to you.
Thank you, Matt. Very much appreciate it. And I want to start off by thanking all of you on the call for your continued support and interest in USAID. We are very appreciative of the collaborative relationship we have with our partners and our ability to meaningfully engage with one another on a continued basis. I'd like to note and thank the Professional Services Council for highlighting USAID's business forecast in their recent scorecard of all federal agencies as one of the best in the government. We take great pride in our forecast and our continued efforts to improve that. And we're doing our utmost to make it reliable and up-to-date. We appreciate the wealth of questions. I think all of you know it was a very challenging year-end this past fiscal year, and we welcome this first engagement in the quarter of FY20. So we look forward, and again, I want to also thank all my colleagues around the world for all their support, inspiration, and contributions you've shared with me over my many years here. I'm thankful to the administrator, agency leadership, and their support and faith in me to lead our office in the years ahead. I commit to you that I'll serve you and the agency with my utmost abilities as I have throughout my career. I very much look forward to our continued journey together as we seek to advance our agency initiatives and impactful goals across the world. I'm truly appreciative of the incredible leadership and professionalism each of you demonstrate every day, both here within the agency and within our partner community. Well, fiscal year 2019 was another record-breaking year for acquisition and assistance obligations that here at USAID. We totaled about $17.3 billion this year. We've been at like $17 billion just at the cuffs these last 3 years now with setting this new record. This exceeds obligations over the years prior. And I'm also pleased to have Mauricio here today and the record-breaking year we also shared with him on obligations to U.S. small businesses, which we'll highlight further during our call. Beyond just the amount of obligations, it's been an unprecedented year for ANA at USAID. Wide-ranging initiatives under effective partnering and procurement reform, which Randy and Marissa have been significantly contributing to and leading with a number of others. The launch of the agency's first ever ANA strategy, category management goal that Deb Broderick leads on a regular basis, the launch of the new partnership initiatives, which Randy and other colleagues have been instrumental. All of us here on the worldwide EPPR summit and workshops that took place this past May, we couldn't have done it without the leadership of Matt and the communications team, as well as all the senior leaderships here within our office. The award management audit that many of you are aware of that was conducted by our Office of Inspector General that highlighted a variety of different challenges across all areas of performance management, be it pre-award, award administration, relationships between contracting officers and contracting officer representatives, and across the board on our processes and operations. Looking ahead to FY 2020, I'm excited by the opportunities we see in the acquisition and assistance world. While I know that there will be challenges as we continue to reform how we do business, I am confident in our abilities to continue to work together to find meaningful solutions. Finally, while we're announcing new positions, I'm pleased to announce, if you hadn't heard previously, that Matt Johnson has another hat and has been named our USAID industry liaison. The role of the industry liaison is to serve as the entry point for USAID stakeholders and contractors, helping to connect, engage, and equip organizations that want to work with the agency. This is a federal-wide initiative. To support the goals of the industry liaison, we've created a new communication and engagement strategy that outlines the activities that the industry liaison will implement in the next year, and areas the agency will streamline its communication efforts to various external stakeholders and partners. You can find information on the industry liaison and the new communication strategy under How to Work with USAID on the USAID.gov website. Please note that our office is ultimately responsible for the implementation of this communication strategy. However, we will partner with the Office of Small Disadvantage and Business Utilization, Mauricio and his team, the Global Development Lab, the Center for Faith and Opportunity Initiatives, the Bureau for Legislative and Public Affairs, and other executives outlined in the strategy. In addition to these other internal stakeholders, obviously the strategy will also be enhanced by our ongoing efforts within our office, such as the agency's ANA Ombudsman, the Acquisition Innovation Advocate, our acquisition and assistance labs around the world, and our professional development and talent training and policy divisions. So again, with that, my sincere thanks and appreciation. And we're now going to turn to Marissa for EPPR updates.
Thank you, Mark, and again, congratulations on your appointment. As by way of update, as many of you know, in June, following the Effective Procurement and Partnering Reform Summit, EPPR, the administrator approved 120-plus recommendations designed to strengthen award management forward to implementation under the guidance of the Management Operations Council. With the administrator's support, a cross-bureau team is actively assembling a core group charged with coordinating reform and streamlining efforts across the agency and to act as a secretariat to the MOC Subcommittee on EPPR implementation. EPPR initially proposed 170 recommendations, some of which have been consolidated, but many of which have already moved forward. These include the new partnerships initiative that advances the administrator's vision for the journey to self-reliance, significant changes to ADS 302 and 303 that enable adaptive management, streamlining efforts like removing JRE to enable freer engagement with new and underutilized partners, revision of the biodata form to provide greater income equality. Still other recommendations have been merged into thematic efforts like accelerating deployment to missions of pre-award survey support and changing our acquisition and assistance service delivery models to support the field. All of these reforms are aimed at strengthening our collective ability to manage awards more effectively. In this, USAID has found an important partner in the Office of the Inspector General. On September 30, 2019, the OIG released the report, USAID's award oversight is insufficient to hold implementers accountable for achieving results. Upon issuance, as a result of 2 years of thoughtful reform, 6 of 10 of the IG's recommendations were closed, and 4 were resolved and pending action before closeout. Many of the OIG's observations echoed the concerns that EPPR set out to address after careful validation through a lengthy discovery process that included cross-agency working groups, field surveys, and external listening groups. Among the reforms EPPR and OIG brought forward are the enhanced coordination role PPL is undertaking with MOAA support for the COR-AOR function, the more focused connectivity between design and procurement as reflected in ASSIST, GLASS, and the development of MEL plans, the better articulation of the role of MOAA as a backstop champion and as an internal control for the function within the community of stakeholders. And as the administrator announced at the EPPR summit in May, the exemption of the COAO function as a mission-critical occupation. In tangible terms, the agency can now hire BS-93s and 1102s to attrition at a ceiling 30% higher than it has been in recent years. HCTM and MOAA, with significant support and input from the agency's senior leadership, are currently building a strategy to recruit, train, mentor, and develop for the future acquisition and assistance force the missions need in the face of increased demand for development assistance. MOAA Washington is currently working to hire to a headcount of 170, and MOAA Foreign Operations seeks to recruit approximately 40 foreign service contracting officers over the next 14 months. This increased workforce will provide the agency an opportunity to better address workload management and to invest in our talented contracting and assistance officers for long and meaningful careers. During fiscal year 2020, working across the agency, we will continue to be focused on implementing the remaining EPPR recommendations.
Thank you, Marisa. I want to turn the call now over to Randy just to give a brief update on the new partnerships initiative.
Thank you, Matt. So one of the first deliverables of the ANA strategy was the new partnerships initiative. It was announced on May 1st. The goal of NPI is to increase USAID's development impact by elevating local leadership, fostering creativity and innovation, including the use of co-creation, and mobilizing resources across the agency's program. So within NPI, we're prioritizing 3 types of partnering approaches: direct awards to new and underutilized organizations that enable local engagement, such as to local entities, locally established partners, as well as new U.S. and locally based small businesses. Second, subawards to new and underutilized organizations designed to support more facilitative partnerships for effective local engagement. And this is where we rely greatly on our experienced traditional partners in managing subawards strategically to empower those country-level partners to lead in their own development and to lead in implementation with support for technical oversight, compliance, and capacity strengthening. And then thirdly, direct awards to partners to leverage significant private or non-U.S. government funding to promote effective local engagement. To date, the agency has made 13 awards under NPI, and we're already seeing its promising model of engaging with a diverse range of partners. To support NPI, we are in the process of standing up what we're calling the NPI Incubator. The goal of the incubator is to accelerate the momentum of the initiative, expanding USAID's capacity for partnerships, and helping partner organizations work with USAID. The incubator will assist USAID bureaus and missions to identify and engage new and local partners, provide training and capacity building assistance, and develop tools, resources, and models to support the agency's partnership goals. In addition, the incubator will help develop the capacity of target partners to compete for and manage USAID awards, identify their own capacity to compete for USAID awards, and improve USAID tools and resources for target partners and deliver training to enhance partners' relationships with USAID. We're continuing to build out the NPI. In the coming months, we will begin working with each mission to deliver, or rather to develop and deliver, two-year plans for engaging new partners and local partners, applying the ANA strategy to partnership approaches. We're also working on building an internal team to support NPI full-time. In addition, I'm pleased to share that there are three new opportunities for NPI from our E3 Bureau posted on the Business Forecast. First, advancing the evidence base and community building and education activity. Second, Youth Power 2, learning through action. And third, a program in women's global development and prosperity. We expect new funding opportunities to be coming out of NPI in the near future, so please stay tuned to the Business Forecast and our NPI website. And if you're interested in learning more about NPI, I encourage you to visit our NPI website, the page on the USAID website, usaid.gov/NPI. Included on the page is all of the latest information on NPI, including a link to the NPI webinar that we held last week, which drew more than 1,500 partners. So thanks, and look forward to engaging with you on NPI and on EPPR down the road.
Thank you, Randy. Deb, I want to turn it over to you, just if you can give us an update on what's happening with category management at USAID.
Sure. Thanks, Matt. So USAID has had great success as it engaged and trained its staff during fiscal year 19 on the benefits and proper application of category management. Throughout fiscal year 19, USAID has worked to attain its category management goals through a multi-phased process that focuses systematically to address the key attributes. This has included steps to increase awareness, provide education and training, manage advocacy, stakeholder engagement, application, and further development of spend under management principles, measure and track results, and evaluate and adapt to improve spend under management. At the end of fiscal year 19, our best-in-class spend was at $147.8 million, which represents 38% or 38.1% of our addressable spend. And our sum total, spend under management total, was $4.35 billion, which represents 82.2% of our spend. While we surpassed the sum target, our target was 75%, and we achieved 82%. We fell short of the BIC target. Our target was 40%, and we achieved 38%. In fiscal year 18, USAID met both targets. So this tells me that it's getting harder for the agency to meet the best-in-class goal, and compounding this problem is that the best-in-class goal is increasing by 10% in fiscal year 20. So you may be wondering how USAID will bridge the gap. In October 2019, USAID submitted a category management plan to OMB. The plan includes implementing policy changes and conducting more training for program and OAA staff, engaging customers and implementing partners, and projecting category management opportunities on the business forecast. In October, we also detailed a contracting officer to spearhead our category management efforts. And we are currently working with bureaus, managements, bureaus, missions, and independent offices to review their portfolios and identify category management opportunities. What you should see on the business forecast is an indicator that the opportunity is targeted for a category management solution, such as OASIS or OASIS Small Business, Alliant, HCATS, et cetera. As we are just getting started, you may not see many of these yet, but you will see these in the not-too-distant future. You will also see RFIs that are sent directly to category management vehicle holders. As you know, category management vehicle options are selected based on the NAICS code, and the vehicle most common to USAID is OASIS, both restricted and unrestricted. However, we're also contemplating awards in HCATS, Alliant, and other vehicles. These contracts are typically for support, training, IT, professional services, engineering services, financial services, et cetera. While we are aggressively seeking to meet our category management goals, we are equally concerned with meeting our small business goals as well. Our COs routinely consider both small business and category management opportunities with the objective of meeting both requirements. Obviously, there is a message here. If you're seeking a contract in these areas, please consider onboarding to one of these category management vehicles or partnering with a company that is already on the vehicle. We appreciate all of your efforts to work with us towards achieving these goals, and we will make every effort to forecast our intentions so that you have the best information available.
Thanks, Deb. That's kind of a perfect segue to Mauricio. I think we're fortunate to have a close working relationship with our small business office here in the Office of Acquisition Assistance. So I'm excited to turn the call over to Mauricio now to talk a little bit about USAID's small business programs.
Great. Thank you so much, Matt, and it's a pleasure to be here as always. I'm pleased to announce this morning that fiscal year 2019 was another exceptional year for USAID in partnering with U.S.-based small businesses. The acquisition data indicates that USAID awarded approximately $784 million to small businesses out of a total portfolio of $5.4 billion in prime contracts. This translates to approximately 14.6% of prime awards, which exceeded our official FY 2019 small business goal of 12.5%, and dollars to small businesses increased by more than $100 million from FY 2018, which basically there's been a trend the last 10 years where we've actually increased every single year our total awards to small businesses, so we're very excited about that. In addition, we exceeded our small disadvantaged business goal for the 10th consecutive fiscal year as well. The agency awarded $387.6 million, or 7.17% to SDBs. And for the first time since FY 2014, we exceeded our women-owned small business goal of 5% by awarding approximately $297.7 million, or 5.5% to women-owned small businesses. There were notable increases in the remaining socioeconomic program areas, and the agency increased awards and obligations to small businesses located in historically underutilized business zones and to service disabled veteran-owned small businesses. Maintaining our level of excellence in partnering with U.S. small businesses is an ongoing commitment both in Washington and in the field. Marissa Paul provided an update about the agency's EPPR reform progress, and Randy Tiff discussed the new partnerships initiative's three primary approaches to partnering. My team and I also continue to incorporate aspects of procurement reform into how we engage the small business community, and we work collaboratively, as Matt said, with our OEA colleagues on a daily basis, and we're very appreciative of that relationship. Last, but certainly not least, we're very excited to announce that our office is working with our colleagues in our Middle East regional platform in Frankfurt, Germany, our mission in the Ukraine, and, of course, the Office of Acquisition and Assistance in Washington to plan and host the agency's second overseas small business conference. The event will be held on March 3rd and 4th of 2020 in Frankfurt, Germany. So we're very excited about that. Some of you who may have attended South Africa a few years ago know how important that those events are, and we're hoping that you can join us. This event represents another internal collaborative effort to focus on programming priorities and procurement needs for the missions of Europe and Eurasia, the Middle East, and Africa, and we hope to have significant representation from those regions at the event. And most important, we plan to open registration early next week on beta.sam.gov, formerly FBO, so please be on the lookout for that. Turn it back over to Matt. Thank you.
Thank you, Mauricio. I want to turn the call over now, just do a couple of questions that we received. I think there's about seven general questions that I thought would be of interest of everyone on the call. So the first question, Mark, is to you just on the accuracy of the business forecast. I know that's a big concern for the partners. How can they rely on the information? So what is USAID doing to ensure just the forecast remains an accurate and reliable tool for our partners?
Sure. Thanks, Matt. And I hope all of you know we always are striving to ensure the forecast is accurate reflection of our planned activities and that we are providing the information to partners in a timely manner. While the forecast is live 24/7, we value these quarterly calls and the outreach because your questions and inquiries are critical to us to maintaining the accuracy of the forecast. We continually communicate with senior leaders, technical staff, and our acquisition and assistance work first on the need for ensuring the forecast is up to date and accurate. But we do remind people that it is a planning tool. As potential activities move through the planning process, USAID is continually assessing our needs and the best way to achieve our development objectives. With this being the case, we often are needing to shift directions in some of our activities for which we try to communicate, again, through the forecast vehicle. We'll continue to focus on reliability of the forecast as well as ways we can continue to enhance it.
Thanks, Mark. And just for those of you that haven't looked at the forecast even over the last couple of days, I know as our CEOs around the world have been answering questions on the forecast, they have been updating it. So you should see a much more up-to-date forecast today than what you did yesterday or even last week or when you submitted questions to us. Mark, the next question for you. There's a lot of questions about the last updated date on the forecast. As folks know, you can go through and search on the forecast to see when activities were last updated. A lot of folks noted that almost everything on there said October 11th or later. Can you just clarify sort of like that October 11th date or how partners should interpret information, for example, when they see a last updated date that's, you know, maybe yesterday, but they don't actually see any changes on the forecast itself?
Sure. Thanks, Matt. And appreciate the question. And so this is somewhat inside baseball, but some of you may know the business forecast is pulled from our larger acquisition and assistance plan. Every fiscal year, at the end of the fiscal year, we try to then carry over and as well as update the business forecast and the A&A plan. So on October 11th, USAID created the FY 2020 A&A plan in our internal acquisition and a planning tool. When doing so, we moved data from FY 19 plan to the new FY 20 plan. The A&A planning tool is used to generate the forecast. This is why you see and saw some of the activities drop off and others updated as of the date of October 11th. The A&A planning tool includes significantly more information than what is included on the business forecast, as it's used by all missions and operating units to manage awards in a much more holistic and broader perspective. So when you see an updated, last updated date in the forecast, but not see a change in the forecast information itself, this very likely means that a field in the A&A plan was updated, but that field isn't included in the business forecast.
Thanks for clarifying that, Mark. One other question for you, Mark. Obviously, folks looked at the forecast. They noted a large number of activities that are slated to be released kind of between sort of like Thanksgiving time frame and basically the new year. Obviously, it's a challenging time for partners or for local holidays happening. It's a challenging time for partners to prepare like full proposals. Is there anything USAID can do just to kind of, you know, note that that time frame is a difficult time to respond back to proposals?
Sure. Now, we will, Matt, to the best of our abilities, try to accommodate the holiday season with our procurements, obviously understanding the challenges during this period. I'll be sending out a note to all acquisition and the staff around the world, noting the need for flexibility during the holiday season. Please be mindful that it's challenging for us as well as challenging for the partners in this respect. As many of you know, it was a challenging end of the fiscal year. We had a lot of money on the table during the fourth quarter of last year. I think almost $8 to $9 billion got obligated in the fourth quarter. So we are trying to more effectively in the first through the third quarters get appropriations, allocations, budget resources approved and trying to move out on those more rapidly. So we do try to the best of our ability to avoid the holidays, but we're also trying to get as much activity earlier in the process as we can.
Thanks, Mark. Mauricio, received several questions about countries with small business targets. Can you provide an update on which countries have small business targets and what those targets are?
Sure. So we're currently engaged in discussions to finalize our fiscal year 2020 internal small business goals for USAID's bureaus, independent offices, and missions. We assign internal small business goals to all bureaus and independent offices in Washington and missions that have an acquisition budget of $5 million averaged over three consecutive fiscal years. Just a bit of historical context, The Small Business Goaling Program has been successfully implemented in Washington for a number of years now. We launched our Mission Small Business Goaling Program 2 years ago in fiscal year 2018 with a pilot program with 16 missions. We increased that to 29 missions last fiscal year. And now for the new fiscal year 2020, the program is going to be fully implemented to the approximately 62 missions with acquisition obligations greater than $5 million. We are in the process of updating our website to report the goals and accomplishments for the 29 missions that participated in the program last fiscal year, and that should be posted in the next couple of days. For your convenience, we're going to put a link to that report, those accomplishments for the last fiscal years. So again, we're in the process of negotiating for this new year, so as soon as those goals are set, we will also post those on the website. Currently on the website, there is a list of missions assigned to goal in the pilot year and other goaling information on our external website, the OSDBU website. And we'll give you, again, the link for that on the transcript.
Thanks, Mauricio. Deb, next question's for you. Question related to the biodata form. When will USAID Washington mandate that the new biodata form be used across all new solicitations?
Sure. So that's already happened. Offerers should respond to new solicitations that require submission of the USAID form 1420-17 must use the form that became effective on October 9, 2019. Additionally, all requests for salary and rate approval under the existing awards that are submitted after October 9, 2019 must be submitted on the new form since it became effective on that date.
Thanks, Deb. Mauricio, another question for you just on HubZone businesses. Some folks noted that there weren't many opportunities on the forecast related to HubZones. Is there anything you can speak to on that issue?
Sure. We do recognize that our agency has been challenged in meeting our HubZone goal over the past several years, though I will add that we're not unique. Many federal departments and agencies struggle to meet this particular goal of 3% for HubZones. We have made a concerted effort to identify qualified HubZone firms that can support our requirements and have had some successes, but we recognize that this remains a work in progress. I will note that USAID has increased its dollar obligations to HubZones for the past three consecutive fiscal years. In FY 2017, we obligated $8.9 million to HubZones and more than doubled that amount to $21 million in fiscal year 2018. And the trend continued in fiscal year 2019 as we awarded $31.5 million to HubZones, the largest dollar obligation to date.
That's great. Mark, the last question for our sort of general questions is to you. It's related to phase competitions and eligibility criteria. Would USAID consider adding this information to the forecast and indicating when a multi-phase process or when restricted eligibility is anticipated for an opportunity?
Sure, Matt. Presently, we do have the ability that this information could be shared in the description field. I'll send a note out on this area as well to our ANA colleagues around the world to encourage them to include this information in the award description when they update the business forecast. In addition, on the technical side, we'll look in to see if adding another column for this type of information would be helpful for future reiterations of the forecast. So thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Is there anything else you want to just add before we close out the call today?
Sure. Thanks. And thanks to everyone here who joined the call today and our colleagues here in the room. I would like to just highlight looking ahead. There are a number of activities that we continue to work on, other ongoing efforts that we are monitoring, and we hope to have future further information to share with the partners in the months ahead. Just want to list some of these items. There are further revisions to ADS 303 related to areas such as renewal grants and substantial involvement associated with enhanced collaboration when needed programmatically. We're in the final stages of that one. We're also working on guidance and techniques on phase procurements. There's a number of missions who have started trying to use this technique more frequently, and we do want to get ahead of the curve and have suggested methodologies out there on a more consistent basis for colleagues to consider utilization of. We are still also working on further guidance on the broad agency announcements, the BAAs. As many of you know, there were a lot of comments during the listening tour and the EPPR reform efforts on the BAAs, and we do have some further guidance that we've been working on to share out. We are exploring how we can more effectively track subcontracts and subawards, especially the local organizations. Within our federal reporting, we would like to remind prime partners that we do rely on you both on the acquisition side and the assistance side to report subawards, procurements, et cetera, into the corresponding federal databases. This will become more and more critical as we try to track more effectively new and underutilized partners and our other efforts. We're also looking at effective ways to adapt the new FAR line item requirements. We put out information this past September on the new acquisition requirements, but we want to make sure we do that in an effective and meaningful way. An outstanding issue, too, has been the IT clauses that have been going through the rulemaking along with prior inquiries on IT efforts. And we are assessing the comments and working on definitions and applicability, especially related to incidental IT reporting and costs. Finally, I want to note, too, that for the U.S. small business community, we continue to monitor both the kind of FAR rule and the further SBA proposed rule, which is related to U.S. small businesses, subcontracting, et cetera. So we are actively engaged in that effort internally within the agency and then with the CAC and the SBA. So we continue to and wait to be on top of the next efforts there on the further SBA side. Finally, I'd just like to, you know, collectively note that we welcome your participation, your inquiries, whether they're individually as partners or through the number of associations that we work with. Activities go on at on a regular basis, weekly basis. This past week, we were able to join the Professional Services Council for their annual conference. A number of USAID representatives joined the event either to speak and or just participate and to hear from the contracting community as well as the speakers. We also met with separately with Umentum and a couple of partners on the assistance side related to letter of credit and the prior executive bulletin we had in place on drawdown and expenditures of funds by program areas and operating units. So we're trying to work through some challenges that the partners have identified in that area. So again, we really do appreciate all the questions that come in. We know it's a lot. It's a heavy lift for us internally, but we know how much you value it, and we look forward for our continued efforts together.
Thanks, Mark, and thanks, everyone, for joining us today. And just as a reminder, we will be posting the transcript, a recording of the call, as well as all of the questions that we received as a part of the business forecast on our website later today. And we'll alert folks through our Twitter handle, which is at USAIDBizOps, and through our email distribution list. So thanks again for participating. Thanks to Mauricio, Deb, Mark, Randy, and Marisa for participating in our call today. Thanks, everyone.